So last week was a fucking disaster, and I'm willing to admit that, and I actually take responsibility for that. I think we have our shit together more now with this episode. We're also recording both these episodes through Zoom because we have COVID and all that bullshit. But
yeah, I blame COVID more than anything else.
Yes. So now we're into our top 10 Infinity Saga movies. We're not doing this current phase and all the other things after that. So this is just up to Endgame. If you want to listen, last week we did 22 to 11. So now we start on our top 10, and I will begin the process. Coming in number 10 for me is Captain America, the First Avenger. This movie, it took time to grow on me. When I first saw it, I thought it was one of the weaker MCU installments. And this is phase one. The more I watched it later on, the more I appreciated it. One of the most enjoyable things for me is how it kind of integrates World War II into Captain America's story, which, let's be honest, the character was created for World War II propaganda anyways.
Absolutely. I was just going to say that. Absolutely, yeah. It was. And one of the few comic series I ever read was a Captain America series from about that time. I had a book of old comics where Captain America's like punching Hitler and stuff. And it's so integral to the character that I don't think you could make a Captain America movie and just say, eh, forget about that. We're setting it in modern times. You have to go back in time, and I think they did it pretty well.
You know, and it ties in too to like Hitler was very into the occult and magic and things like that. And the Red Skull is too in this, but he's actually found something, which was the Tesseract, which I don't know if at the time they knew that was going to be an Infinity Stone, but
I color me suspicious. I don't think so. Yeah. I think they threw it in there and then they went, okay, we'll figure out what that is later on. Was the Tesseract, was that a thing or was that an MCU creation?
The Tesseract is a thing in the comics. It was not an Infinity Stone.
Okay.
So was the Aether. So was the Eye of Agamotto. All that bullshit.
Yeah.
Those were all their own things. They turned those into Infinity Stones in the movies.
Gotcha. But Infinity Stones are in the comics.
Correct.
But they're different. These are just two different things.
Yeah, the Infinity Stones are just their own things in the comics.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, I mean, I think what probably happened was, hey, that's a glowy thing that's been around for a while. That can be an Infinity Stone. That's my guess. I don't know.
I agree. Yeah,
who knows? Marvel's pretty good at planning, but I kind of doubt they were planning that far ahead.
No, but, I don't think so.
Yeah, but whatever. Shall I do my 10? Do you got anything else to say about that?
No, we might touch on it later, I have a feeling.
Oh, yeah. My number 10 is Avengers Age of Ultron. The Avengers movie that gets all the heat, you know, for being the bad one. And I will say, of the Avengers movies, it is the worst one. It's very much the middle, what do we do? It's very heavy on exposition, very heavy on setup. You and I got to watch this together, one of the few that we got to watch together. And I remember the whole time thinking, this is pretty good. This is fine. I don't know why people hate this. Definitely not as good as the first and not as good as what came later. But I enjoyed it. I am also a big James Spader fan. So for me, it was just fun to hear him being James Spader in the MCU. I thought that was kind of great. Did Ultron die in that?
Yeah.
Or did he just get like, so he didn't just get like banished to the Shadow Realm or whatever?
The Vision pretty much blew him up with the Infinity Stone.
Oh, that's right. I was going to say, I'd be kind of cool to see him come back at some point, but I don't think that's possible. So, I don't have a lot to say about this movie, but I do think it's very fun. And as I've said, I prefer the team up movies. I think these characters play off of each other extremely well. And I'm always just more interested in them getting together than I am in the solo films. So even a lesser team up movie to me is just way more interesting.
Well, Ultron's number 9 for me.
Okay.
The Hulkbuster fight scene is one of my favorite things in all these movies. It's so fun.
Oh, just, that is a good one. Yeah, I forgot about that. That's good. That's a good fight.
The dialogue from Robert Downey Jr. too, where he's like, he's got that fist thing that just keeps coming out and hitting him. And he's like, go to sleep, go to sleep, go to sleep. Just keeps punching the Hulk in the face.
It looks like a shake weight.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I think my biggest complaint with this is they definitely try to set up other movies. Like, they've got that Thor dream sequence.
There's a whole middle chunk of this movie that's just exposition for stuff that's going to come later. And yes, I'm specifically referring to the Thor where he like dreams of Thanos or in the stones or something like that. Where you can also, just tell, like, we're just setting stuff up to come, but that's okay. You gotta do that. You gotta explain it to people because not everybody knows what's going on. You know, not everybody's read these comics. So
yeah.
I get why you have to have a transition movie where it's just, we need to explain things now.
Also, I love James Spader too, but making Ultron a whimsical villain who's like kind of got the personality of a Tony Stark, I wasn't the biggest fan of that decision. I wish they didn't go that route, but somebody made that decision. I don't know if it was Joss Whedon or what, but
yeah, it was probably this was a Joss Whedon movie, wasn't it?
Yeah.
This was his last
The sex pest allegations.
Yeah, I was going to say before the sex pest allegations. Yeah, and before he went to DC to ruin Justice League.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Good job, Joss Whedon. Wow. What a fall from grace.
You ain't kidding, man.
Yeah, that's wild. My number 9 is, you're going to think this is hilariously low. I'm so sorry. Avengers Endgame.
Wow, okay.
I liked Endgame. I think it's a satisfying, you know, fun conclusion. Okay, and in fairness, you and I watched Endgame together.
Mm-hmm.
And we sort of didn't watch the whole movie. We kind of skipped some stuff.
Yeah.
Just because it was very long, we were running out of time, that sort of thing. And you were trying to get me caught up on this sort of stuff. So in fairness to this movie, I probably need to rewatch it. And indeed, I will probably rewatch several of these at some point. Maybe we revisit this at some point, you know, down the line. Satisfying end, pretty well done for as many pieces as they had, as many balls as they had in the air. I think they landed it pretty well. Obviously, you have your big epic send-off for Tony Stark, his big hero moment. I did tear up just a little bit at that. I like how clever, I like the time travel plot and how they're sort of using different interesting ways to defeat Thanos and bring people back. It's good. I like it. I'm not standing up in the theater and applauding when everybody starts like jumping, when everybody starts jumping out of time portals and running at Thanos and everybody's like crying, and that doesn't do it for me in a movie, but a pretty good ending. Sorry.
No, it's all right.
If I had seen that movie in theaters and the part comes where everybody's jumping out of the portals, I know that all the nerds were standing at attention and saluting. And I know it would have killed me. I would have hated it so much. I'm so glad I didn't see any of these movies in theaters because it would have literally killed me. When I see videos, the fan videos of opening night, and people just start losing their mind and clapping like seals when a person they know shows up, or like, oh God, what was it a couple years ago? The end of Black Adam, when Henry Cavill shows up for 2 minutes and he's just like, Black Adam, it's me, Superman. We need to have a discussion. And everybody just loses their fucking minds. In the movie theater, that would drive me insane. I would burn that theater down. I don't know why Endgame became a rant on fan service, but
number 8 for me will offend you.
Okay.
Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
It doesn't offend me. That's really high. you said Guardians and I was like, that's fine. Volume 2. Whoa. it doesn't offend me. People love these movies. I'm in the extreme minority.
This movie had a lot of heart. Especially the story with Yondu and Star-Lord. The I'm Mary Poppins y'all scene at the end where he dies. And
yeah,
he kind of tells Peter Quill, I've been your dad this entire time. Really got me in the feels. I don't know. That kind of hit me on a personal level, I guess. But the dynamic between Gamora and... I can't even think of the chick's name. Karen Gillian plays a character. The blue chick.
Yeah. Blue chick.
Blue bald chick.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm sorry. These movies went through my head like a sieve.
Fuck, I cannot remember her name for the life of me right now. And she's like an integral part in the Infinity War comic.
Yeah.
Thanos' daughter, but I could not think of her fucking name for the
Is it
life of me.
is it Nebula?
Nebula, yes.
Wow.
There we go.
I'm impressed with myself.
Yeah. Kurt Douglas's Ego was a choice. It was very interesting, and like the whole movie is like he's spreading his seed across the galaxy.
Well, we've all been there.
I always wondered how they were going to pull that off, because in the comics, for the most part, Ego is just a giant planet with a mustache and a mouth and eyes. Yeah. But I think they pulled it off as...
Okay, good.
I would have much rather seen that, to be honest.
So would I. I'd be all in on that movie. Should be played by like Wilfred Brimley.
Oh, that'd be the best. Absolutely. But yeah, I the camaraderie this team has too is it shines through, and it shines through in all three movies. But I don't know. I like that movie a lot, and I it kind of hit me on an emotional level, which most of these movies don't.
Well, like I said, James Gunn is very, very good at putting a lot of heart into his movies. They do make you emotional. Guardians 3 got me. He's great at that. And yeah, it's the thing that rubs me the wrong way about the Guardians movies is just like the cuteness level to me just needs to be taken down a little bit. It's just a little over the top. They're very good. I'm not honestly, most of the movies on this list I don't hate.
Right.
Like if anything, my opinion of Marvel is higher than it was when we started this.
Well, we're at the point now where none of these movies are we hate, because, I mean, obviously it's top 10.
Yeah, well, I mean, even like, I stop hating these movies. Like, I don't hate Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. I put it low. It's just not a favorite of mine. But for the most part, they're all pretty watchable. Before I go any further, earlier in my list, you said there was one movie that you were shocked I hadn't mentioned yet. Have I mentioned it yet?
No.
What?
And I'm getting more shocked by the minute here, I think.
Okay.
Unless I'm forgetting something, but...
Okay. Wow, I don't know. All right, I guess I'll go then. Number 8 for me is Captain America, the First Avenger. I like this movie a lot. I think for as much... It's just... I really don't know what movie you're referring to. For as much as RDJ gets all the credit for being, like, the best cast person in the MCU, I think it's Chris Evans as Captain America. He is so good as Captain America.
I agree.
He completely nails that like hokey 1940s sort of corny, you know, all American boy sort of thing. Just wants to go off and fight the Nazis, and he wants to marry Peggy and go dance at the club. And he brings that, you know, that energy so well to this movie. I think it carries through in the rest, and watching him, especially by Endgame, when he's just like so depressed and down in the dumps, and watching his like 1940s optimism, his ideals, watching his transformation of just becoming so much more cynical and jaded by everything going on in the modern world over time, I think is the best performance in the entire MCU is his character arc.
Is this the most jacked he was in any of these movies?
I think so. He's really jacked in this. He's I think he let that go after a little while. He spent a lot more time in like sweaters in the later movies. I mean, Chris Evans is in great shape. He's always in great shape, but
yeah,
he was really on the gas for this one, I have to assume.
You know who's an unsung hero in this movie too that I didn't mention is Tommy Lee Jones.
I was going to mention Tommy Lee Jones. He's so good in this. When I watched this, I didn't know a lot about these movies. I just ignored them. I never saw them. I was never interested in them. So there are people that pop up in almost every movie where I go, holy crap, it's that person. And Tommy Lee Jones was one of them. I had no idea he was in this film. Mm-hmm. So when he pops up, I thought it was such a delight. He's playing like a grouchy colonel, which is so perfect for Tommy Lee Jones. But I love World War II set stuff. I love World War II history. I thought they did a pretty good job with it. I had some gripes at the time, but overall, it's a pretty fun movie. Obviously, fighting Nazis is always fun. I think they nail that. It's great. Directed by the guy who directed The Rocketeer. And it really has that vibe to it. I think it
100%.
Just nails it. Yeah. So, and the ending got me when he's flying the jet into the ice and he knows he's going to go down. He's talking to Peggy. And I think I said at the time, and I did not know this was how Endgame ended. I said, man, because I knew Endgame did time travel. And I said, man, I really hope Endgame ends with him getting to dance with Peggy in that nightclub. And it did. I thought that was great. So I enjoy this movie very much.
Number seven for me, the OG Iron Man. Look, this was an event for me. When I first heard they were making this movie, I go, how? How are they going to pull this off? Then I saw the suit and I was like, holy shit, like, incredible.
Now, when you say how, were you concerned that it was just going to suck, or were you concerned that the technology wasn't there to make it look realistic, or
the technology?
Okay.
Because to have something like an Iron Man to this point, like, we had never really, I mean, I guess X-Men had kind of started to do it, but even Spider-Man, the Raimi ones, looked a little wonky when he was web slinging.
Oh, the Raimi ones are super wonky. I know we're going to revisit those, I think, this year. And
yeah,
I haven't seen them in a long time, but I've, you know, neither I've seen clips and stuff, and I'm prepared to be pretty blown away by how not great it looks.
Yeah, that was my concern, especially a character like Iron Man who's flying in the air. But I thought, and then the choice of Robert Downey Jr. by comic book standards, like, that is not the Tony Stark that I grew up with. But I don't know. So he just manages to, he manages to kind of exude that character, but add to it and kind of make it more enjoyable. And the points in which he has to be serious, he's fantastic. He's not always whimsical in all these scenes, even in Endgame and Infinity War and all these other things. There's scenes where he's serious. He's not joking around all the time. And, you know, one iconic scene for me is when he sees that that town is using his stolen weapons.
Oh, yeah.
And he flies in and saves the day right when that dad's about to be executed. It's one of my favorite scenes in the entire MCU. Yes, I will admit the fight at the end leaves a lot to be desired. I don't think they kind of figured that out yet. I think that's why they tried to go a little balls to the wall in Iron Man 2 with the end. But Terrence Howard is great in it. I guess I'm just used to Don Cheadle now at this point. But
I think Don Cheadle's great. I just like, as I was rewatching Iron Man last night, I just kept thinking, like, man, he's really good at this character. Terrence Howard is. And I really wish he would have stuck around. But it's your classic, the co-star doesn't realize they're not the star, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Because I know he wanted a lot more money and top billing or equal billing with Robert Downey Jr. And that just wasn't going to happen. So,
you know, the first Iron Man and Hulk had a bit of an edge to it too, which later down the road, especially when Disney took over.
Yeah.
Didn't see that anymore.
No, those were the pre-Disney days, and you're absolutely right. The one thing I do appreciate about Iron Man, and I like Iron Man, just to be clear, I think it's a good movie. It does have very much an edge to it. I mean, one of the first scenes is Tony Stark in his private plane drunk, and a stripper pole descends from the plane, and I just don't think you would see that in the Disney era.
And it's the most enjoyable Pepper Potts is in any of these movies.
I completely agree with that. Yeah, she is very good in this. It's a good movie. I like it. I know I have it lower, but it's good. It's a very good superhero movie, and I can completely understand why it would be an event. And especially for, if you're a fan of the genre, at the time you were getting The Dark Knight and Batman Begins, and everything was going dark and gritty and real. And even, you know, Spider-Man 3 fell off a cliff. X-Men 3 fell off a cliff. Blade 3 was awful. So those types of movies were done. They were gone. And you know, this would have been something kind of a breath of fresh air. I get it.
Jeff Bridges is also very good in this.
He's excellent. I really like him a lot. I don't like him as the villain. I don't like him. Jeff Bridges' head sticking out of a CGI suit is really funny. but he's really good. He's very menacing. Jeff Bridges. He's a big guy. He's very physically imposing. He's so good. Look, I was busy this year watching Quantum of Solace, in my defense. So, and wondering where it all went wrong.
Fair enough.
All right, we're on to number seven. Go for it.
I just said mine.
Oh, you did? Oh, I'm sorry.
That's your number seven.
Number seven for me is Black Panther. I really like Black Panther a lot. Actually, I loved Black Panther. Again, it's got the same issue as so many of these other ones.
Well, you must have really been disappointed with part two.
I hated part two. Yeah, I was extremely disappointed. Yeah. And I was kind of keeping it to myself because I knew I knew we were going to do this list at some point. I mean, this was a while ago, but I knew we were going to do it at some point. So I didn't want to just lay my cards out on the table. But yeah, I kind of loved the first Black Panther. And like a lot of these, it's great and interesting until, well, the third act's here. We got to fight the rhinos. I also think they missed a beat. The movie should have ended with Michael B. Jordan taking over Wakanda. And then Black Panther 2 would have been, what's his name? T'Challa? Mm-hmm. Black Panthers? Yeah, T'Challa figuring out how to, you know, come back and get his kingdom back, that sort of thing.
That would have been great.
Should have been two movies. It's really weird to me that Marvel, for his, like, especially in this era where like everything was a guaranteed success, they always had to wrap up an individual storyline in every movie. They could never let something be a two-parter. I mean, mm-hmm. other than they finally do it with Infinity War and Endgame, but that's the mm-hmm. big ending, so I get it. But like, God, Marvel, like, take a chance. Just take one chance. I guarantee people were going to go back and see part two. I think that would have been great. Obviously, it wouldn't have worked for a lot of reasons, but I think that would have been the way to end that movie. Also, as I was watching Black Panther, I kept thinking, man, they're really styling him as like James Bond of the MCU. This is very Bondy. And so sure enough, I looked it up and Ryan Coogler said, he was like, yeah, we wanted to make T'Challa the James Bond of the MCU. And so as we were shooting this, we were heavily inspired by the Bond films. And
interesting.
There's one scene that's like straight out of Skyfall. So mm-hmm. I think for me, this movie was probably hitting some buttons for me that maybe other people didn't care about, but I was sure as heck enjoying it. Yeah, the end is just a total letdown because it's just the same thing over and over again. But for the first two thirds of it, I really, really loved it. And yes, wildly disappointed at the follow-up. I really didn't like Black Panther 2.
Number six for me is Avengers Endgame. Look, there are moments in this movie which are epic, probably can never be duplicated again, and gives you everything you want as a fan that's been watching all of these to the end. I mean, Captain America picking up the hammer, the three OGs fighting Thanos. You know, we can skip the whole girl power scene that was fucking stupid. This is the beginning of like multiple helmet removals too.
Yeah.
Like that happens a lot in Quantumania, more than I've ever seen. But and kind of you get the completion of a lot of these story arcs. Tony Stark begins his journey kind of selfish, out for himself. The more these movies go on, the more he's here for the greater good. Captain America, even in the first Avengers movie, tells him, I've seen the footage. All you ever do is fight for yourself. You'll never lay down for the other man. And that's exactly what he does in this. He sacrifices his life to save the universe. And I guess it couldn't be anybody other than him when you think about it. Captain America gets to have that last dance. I mean, they really make a nice ending here for these story arcs. It really is the end of the MCU as far as I'm concerned, because it's just hard to get on board with these movies after that. It's kind of fun to travel back to some of the older movies. Guardians of the Galaxy, you've got the Battle of New York. They even go back to Thor the Dark World. A bunch of things like that, you know.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. And I appreciate that there's real life consequences to what happens in Infinity War.
Yeah.
And they show that, but then there are moments where it gets, again, they start to get too whimsical. Thor's fat now. He's a drunk. He's pretty much become a punchline. You got Professor Hulk in this, which is fine, but then, I don't know, they just make him this beta male that you just don't want to see the Hulk like that. I don't know. Like, you know what I mean, right?
I do. Yeah, I know what you mean. I don't like how they treat the Hulk really after the first Avengers. I like him in the first Avengers, and then after that, the character just gets, he's always part of a joke.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, that's supposed to be your big, the Hulk is supposed to be treated like a nuclear weapon, something that you have to be very careful with because it's like the most powerful thing. And there's they don't really do that.
There's a scene too where Tony Stark travels back in time to visit his father, and they try to put a nice little button on that whole story arc too. which I just thought was a step too far. You know, it's a 3-hour movie.
It was long.
And I feel like some of these scenes could have been cut out. But overall, I mean, what more can you say? There's a lot of epicness that happens in this.
It's a good ending, and you're right. Like, we've beaten this horse to death, but how do you have this ending and then say, hey guys, don't forget, Spider-Man Goes to Europe comes out in 2 months. Make sure to buy your tickets. Go see it in IMAX.
That was a huge mistake.
Huge mistake. You do Endgame, and then you don't release anything for a year or longer. You take a breath.
Yeah.
And then you come back, and then you start rebuilding.
I said all along, because they had gotten the rights to X-Men and Fantastic Four at this point.
Mm-hmm.
They should have taken a break and started on those movies.
The only problem they had with that, and it's going to be what they probably end up doing anyway, is that contractually, they could not recast any of the X-Men until 2025.
Mm.
So if they were going to do that, they would have been stuck with, you know, Fassbender and McAvoy and those guys. Or I guess Ian McKellen is old Magneto. And
That's probably why we're seeing Hugh Jackman now in this next Deadpool movie.
Exactly why. So my prediction for what they're going to do, especially since these movies are falling off a cliff now, Deadpool supposedly is going to like reset the whole thing. He's going to kill a bunch of people. He's going to like kill the Sonyverse, bring things into the Marvel universe. My guess is that's the last we'll see of Hugh Jackman. And then next year they can recast the X-Men and create their own thing. And I think that's what we're going to see. So they're just buying time, essentially. But, you know, you also can't keep releasing flops.
Yeah.
All right. Number six for me. We're into like the good stuff now. I think this is the stuff I like really like. Captain America, the Winter Soldier. Was that? I feel like that's probably lower than you thought I would put it.
That is lower. And I must have forgot something, or there is a movie on this list that is way fucking higher. I'm shocked I haven't heard this yet.
Okay.
I don't know if I'm missing one from the last episode, but
I think it's mine. I think I've narrowed it down, and I think it's my number one, but I don't know. I'm looking at two here that you might be thinking of. Winter Soldier. This was the movie that had to grow on me. I actually watched this twice. This is one of the few that I've seen twice. Because you said to me, like, oh, it's and a lot of people, like, this, the hype around this movie is, oh, it's like a political thriller, it's a espionage movie. And I watched it and I was like, yeah, it's kind of that. Like, it is, but it's a very watered down version of that, you know? It's not the Manchurian Candidate by any stretch of the imagination, but it is good, it is fun. It's a Captain America movie, which I love. Winter Soldier feels very threatening. It is kind of a thriller. Somehow they have Robert Redford in it. That was shocking. I don't have a ton to say about it. It is kind of a thriller. It's in that vein. I like that it's a little smaller. You know, it's a surveillance system's launching. We got to stop the surveillance system. It's not blue laser shooting into the sky, aliens invading, that sort of thing. So it's a little bit of a breath of fresh air, which I appreciate. So I like that one.
Top five, baby.
Top five.
I got Guardians of the Galaxy, the first one.
Okay.
To me, this is the most successful Star Wars movie in the last 30 years.
I agree with you. You're right.
Look, Star Wars has been shit for a long time. Yes, I liked The Force Awakens, but I feel like it had that same effect of, I call it Spider-Man nostalgia, where you have the three Spider-Men who jump into the multiverse, and you see all the, hey, you remember him? Like,
oh, we should do Star Wars at some point, because I'm a big Star Wars fan, even though I also freely admit that it's been bad way more than it's been good.
Yeah.
You're like in the middle on Star Wars, it seems. You're not like the biggest fan.
No, I'm a fan, but I wouldn't say I'm a huge fan.
Okay.
Definitely more of a Marvel fan than a Star Wars fan, but
yeah.
I like the concepts of Star Wars. I like the Jedi, the Jedi Council. I like, you know, the whole story with the Empire. Obviously, lightsabers are fucking awesome.
Yes, lightsabers are cool.
I like space battles, you know. The politics behind it are kind of interesting, even though they harp on those way too much in some of these movies.
Yeah.
Especially the prequels.
Well, the prequels are all politics. I mean, I occasionally run into like angry Star Wars fans arguing online. And a very common argument I saw is that, or I see all the time, is, We hate Kathleen Kennedy because she made Star Wars political. Star Wars was never political under George Lucas.
Always was.
Star Wars was always political, extremely political. Starting with the original movies, they were about Vietnam. And you don't want to know who the Empire is representing, trust me. And then...
See, I thought the Empire was more of an allegory for the Nazis.
It was. And then as time went on, I think Lucas kind of grafted on America's the Empire and it's a Vietnam allegory. But I think that was more in his head because the Empire is absolutely just the Nazis.
Yeah, that's what I thought. But
yeah,
but no matter what, there's definitely a political leaning.
Oh, yeah. No, like
except for maybe Return of the Jedi.
That's probably true.
That's when they started making these for babies.
Absolutely. And then in the prequels, it was by episode three, Palpatine was literally just George W. Bush. Like unambiguously, that's what Lucas said. That is not me. That is not Matt the Liberal making this up. That was his intention at the time. Okay. So no, these movies are not, like, they're not subtle. They've always been political. Star Wars is political. I don't know how we got on this, but yes. A woman being in a movie is not political.
That's exactly it. Because she had pink hair.
Exactly. That's not political. You just don't like that. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking colloquially to the internet.
Right. Right. But getting back to Guardians.
Oh, yeah. The thing we're talking about.
It hit that right tone of good humor, good action, heart, everything we talked about with James Gunn. All of his strengths shine through a lot in this movie. The only weakness to me, I like Ronan, but I kind of feel like he's a mustache twirling villain.
I agree with that. I forgot he was the villain of this movie.
Well, see, there you go.
Yeah.
Thanos is in the background in this, kind of a first real taste of him in this.
Yeah.
This
was really the introduction of Thanos, right? Like, I know he was in the end of the first Avengers in like the post-credit scene. But this is where we finally start to get Thanos kind of fleshed out as an actual villain.
And again, Guardians was so different than all the other MCU. Now we're going to space and you've got, like, just like in Star Wars, all these weird creatures walking around. You've got a fucking raccoon with a machine gun and they're not afraid to do that in these. And it just fits tonally. It fits perfectly. And I feel like since the success of Guardians, because it was very successful. And I actually saw this movie early too. I went to an early screening of this back in the day with my old brother-in-law, who's like the biggest Star Wars fan you've ever seen in your life. And he fell in love with it and said, this is the best Star Wars movie I've seen in, you know, years since the 80s. But I just felt like they nailed that tone. And then the MCU tried to kind of duplicate that after the fact, and they just were not successful. They were not able to hit that.
James Gunn is very talented. He knows what he's doing. He knows how to make a quality movie. And you can't just take his ideas. You can't take his formula and say, you do it. Faceless, nameless director that we hired for scale. It just doesn't work. I completely agree. And since I've been a little mean to the Guardians movies, and I do like them, again, they're just not exactly to my taste. I will say something nice about them. I appreciate that they are so disconnected from the rest of the movies, especially the first one. Even though, yes, we're setting up Thanos, we're still doing that sort of thing. But the setting, because it does take place in space and it's very far away from Earth, you can't just have like Tony Stark show up for a little cameo or Captain America do a little cameo. And I kind of like the fact that you can take a breath and step away from all of that.
Yeah.
And it's just, you're right. It is completely separate. It's completely different from everything else going on.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate that. All right. We are in the top five, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Number five for me, Avengers Infinity War. I really liked Infinity War. I think I was more impressed by Infinity War than I liked Infinity War. No, I liked Infinity War, but I was very impressed by it. Because there's so much going on in that movie. It's like 30 different movies all at once. It takes place literally all over the universe. And somehow they focused it into this pretty cohesive narrative. And nothing ever outstayed its welcome. It was paced extremely well. It went from thing to thing. You could always follow what was happening, even though you got 30 characters to follow. And it was just a really incredible way of setting up the end of how are we going to wrap all this up? And it was just very, I find it very impressive technically.
Yeah.
I don't even know what to say about it because there's so much going on in it. Yeah, great performances. It's just, yeah, a really great Avengers movie.
Number four for me is Captain America, the Winter Soldier. This is the first taste we got of the Russo brothers and what they could do. And you'll see a common theme here with the next three movies I'm going to discuss.
Okay.
Pretty much because I think they're the absolute best directors in any of these movies that we've gotten. They made Nick Fury the most interesting he's been in any of these movies. There is a political leaning to this movie. You know, they're trying to basically bust people before they commit a crime, kind of over surveillance, over policing, which is a theme that we deal with in the real world these days. Kind of Captain America on the run, a little bit of an espionage lean to it as well. And it's a lot more grounded than what you saw in Avengers. And it kind of takes it back down to a street level mission, which I appreciated too, because that's the way these solo movies should be. Everything shouldn't be like a world ending event, so to speak.
I completely agree. I think it's better for it to not have a world ending event. You're just trying to stop a thing. This is also the beginning of Captain America's sort of cynicism, where mm-hmm. he's like, you know, because you would expect him to be always on the side of the government. He's a government agent, essentially, and he's not. He's sort of learning that, like, oh, no, you have to take a stand. If the government or if anybody is overstepping and they're doing something that's wrong, you have to stand up against them and fight them. And that's sort of what he's learning here.
Well, he even says when they want to put all the helicarriers in the air, he tells Nick Fury, this is not freedom. This is fear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and I don't stand for this. And I don't know. I like a lot of those things about this movie. That freeway fight scene with the Winter Soldier is one of the coolest things I've seen.
Yeah, it's very good.
Even the scene where they're trying to get Nick Fury, it's just fantastic, man. Yeah, I like this movie a ton.
All right, number four for me. Captain America Civil War, aka Avengers 3. Probably why I like it. We've covered that I really like the team-up movies a lot.
This is three for me, so let's discuss.
Okay, great. I'll let you go. I'll let you start off.
Again, the Russo brothers at the helm here. They have a lot to juggle.
I was going to lead off with that. There's so much going on in this movie.
Basically, what they're doing, because of the events of Ultron, they're trying to make all superheroes register with the United States government. Captain America is not in favor of this, and Iron Man is. And so you've got two teams that are at war here in this movie, and I just think it's done masterfully. The conflict between Captain America and Tony Stark is great. The kind of reluctancy to want to fight each other, but they have no choice. Spider-Man is introduced cleverly into the movie.
I like I like the Spider-Man introduction a lot.
Yeah.
I knew the basic premise of this movie going into it, that you know, they were fighting over the Sokovian Accords and being, mm-hmm. you know, essentially registering it as the superheroes. It's basically the Mutant Registration Act from the first X-Men movie. So I knew that. What I didn't know was the twist of we find out Winter Soldier killed Captain America's parents, and mm-hmm. Winter Soldier killed Tony Stark's parents, and that Captain America knew about that.
Right.
And so that really like deepens that divide.
Also, our introduction to Black Panther in this.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, we meet T'Challa. I think that's his father's executed at the UN summit, and then we get introduced to him.
Correct.
Something like that. Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Good introduction for him. I thought Chadwick was much better in Black Panther. I thought he grew into that role really well.
I agree.
Yeah, he's a little stiff in Civil War, mm-hmm. But he really kind of nailed it later on. Yeah, you're not wrong. Tons going on in this movie. It had to juggle a lot. You talk about like two-parters. I think this is one that probably could have been a two-parter.
Yeah, I agree.
Anything else to say about that?
No, but that's my number three. So go ahead and jump into three here.
Okay, my number three. Ahead of critically acclaimed Russo
Here it comes.
brothers directed films.
Here it comes.
Civil War, Infinity War, the billion-dollar grossing Black Panther, the classic that is Iron Man, Ant-Man, number
I
three.
fucking, this is what I was waiting for. Number three?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I really
What
like Ant-Man.
the fuck? I can't wait to hear this.
Okay, go with me. I get so sick of aliens shooting blue lasers into the sky. I get so sick of all this stuff. I get it, and I always get bored by it. I wanted to hate this movie. I really did. I had never seen it before. I'm actually not a huge Paul Rudd fan. I like Paul Rudd, but sometimes he's just Paul Rudd playing Paul Rudd as Paul Rudd, and that can get kind of old. Obviously, I heard everything about, you know, Quantumania, especially that it was just this disaster and it was terrible, and I'm sure it is. So I expected this to be so awful. And as I was watching this movie,
let me make this clear that I had this 18 on my list.
Yes, that's why I was laughing when you made it number 18. Oh, my number one, you had super low too. It was such a delight. I thought Paul Rudd was very funny. He was actually very charming. He didn't go too far. Really well cast. I thought Evangeline Lilly was great. Kurt Douglas is Hank Pym. Excellent choice. I liked the visuals. I thought it was all very clever. It feels like to use a British term, it feels like it was taking the piss out of Marvel. I mean, especially like the last fight scene when it's just the two little ant-sized guys on a child's train toy, and it's this like biggest, most epic thing ever, and then it zooms out and it's just a little choo-choo train. Loved it. I love heist movies, and this is a heist movie. It's not the most clever heist movie in the world, but it's still a heist movie. At no point does a blue laser fire into the sky. It's just, we need to break in and steal suit. That's it. That's the movie. It's real simple.
So you really liked that cameo from the Falcon, huh?
I hated that. That was my least favorite part. That was stupid. Even that was like, you know what that reminded me of? That reminded me of the joke in Deadpool 2 when they want to have an X-Men in the Deadpool movie. So it's like, I don't even remember who it was, but it was one of the lowest rung X-Men characters ever. And he's just like, really? Is this all we could afford? This is all we could get?
Negasonic Teenage Warhead?
That's it, yeah. That reminded me of that, where it was like, okay, they got to have an Avengers cameo, but they can't afford, they can't pay Chris Evans to do this because this movie's going to have a smaller budget. Oh, they'll get Anthony Mackie as not Captain America. They'll get him. It's fine. It was great. I loved it. It the humor worked for me. It was just a joy, just an absolute joy. I'd watch that movie again in a heartbeat.
Goddamn.
Sorry.
All right. No, I mean, your taste is your taste. I think I've already figured out what your number one is, too.
Yeah, probably.
Number two for me, The Avengers, the original one.
Also my number two, so.
Yeah, for me, an experience film. It was one of those movies in which you said you would hate this, but people standing up cheering and going crazy. Just the culmination, though, of the work put in to building to this. And Joss Whedon, you know, sex pesting aside, really did a great job of giving every character their chance to shine, managing to put this all together, to make it cohesive, to have kind of their one-on-one battles that everybody kind of wants to see. And then the end fight, where you see a lot of them working together in unison, just brilliant, brilliantly done. When you can make Hawkeye somewhat interesting, when you've got Thor, yeah, and Iron Man and the Hulk and Captain America running around, I mean, that deserves some credit. It really,
oh,
really
think,
does.
I think Joss Whedon should get a ton of credit for this movie. It's really great. I love this. I really like this movie a lot. I think it's great.
Yeah.
It seems so quaint now to think that teaming up, you know, six characters was this Herculean monumental task, but it was, it is. Everybody thought this movie was going to be a mess, and it probably should have been a mess, and it's not. It's really well done. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you compare that to Endgame, where there's 150 characters that you got to juggle. I mean, it feels so quaint, but it, you know, at the time I remember this being this big deal that all these characters were coming together, and they nailed it. And, you know, obviously that's pretty hard to do. They tried to do it with Justice League and it just didn't work. It's really hard to pull it off. And he did.
Yeah.
I completely agree with everything you've said. It's great. It holds up. It struck a balance of, it's all these characters coming together, but it's not overload. It's not every single character you've ever seen in the Marvel Cinematic Universe jumping out of a portal to fight Thanos. And I get why that was a big deal, and they did that well too. But there is something nice about just seeing like five characters and they got to work together to defeat this thing. I didn't even mind the CGI action battle at the end, because it's very X-Men. It's like, it's all the characters using their individual strengths to defeat the faceless CGI army. And so for that, I was like, all right, I will forgive this one just this once.
Yeah. And this is the first movie where you got blue laser in the sky and a faceless CGI army. Then they started to do it over and over, and other movies started to do it. And that's when it became worn out.
Yeah. Once is fine, especially if you make it fun and interesting, but when you're doing it in every single movie, that's when it gets dull.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Okay. So number two was also Avengers for you.
Yep.
So number one for me is Avengers Infinity War.
The way I had a this feeling movie, that was going to be your number one.
The way it ended is not something Marvel has done before, like you said. And the heroes don't win here in the end. It ends kind of shockingly, even though we all fucking know that most of these people are going to come back. But the thing in Endgame, people actually died too. And yeah, I know Gamora is from like another reality, but like Black Widow's dead. She's, as far as I know, she stays dead. Tony Stark, God willing, is going to stay dead too. But
give him time.
But in Infinity War, all these people kind of get dusted off, and you're wondering, how are they going to fix this in the next movie? You know they're going to get there, but you don't know how. And just the story of Thanos collecting the stones and everybody's trying to stop him and it goes all over the place, I think is masterfully done. I wish they would have shown him get the first stone. Because he just shows up with one stone automatically.
Yeah, that was that's my one little gripe with that whole setup, is he collects those stones very quickly once he actually starts.
Well, then, I mean, also you see how powerful he is, because he beats the shit out of the Hulk.
Yeah.
You know, and kind of easily. And he's got Thor on his knees, you know what I mean?
Yep.
But I just... You know, the only thing I can say where it feels like the same old Marvel formula is we do have another faceless CGI army attacking, but it makes for one of the coolest scenes in the MCU when Thor shows up with Stormbreaker and just starts wrecking shit once he transports in.
Yeah, and you almost need it in this case, because you've got so many characters. You need something for them to all do. And so you kind of have to have the faceless CGI army. Even though I did like the sort of Thanos' side army, like his personal little group, they were all kind of clever and creative and freaky. So I like that. At this point, you just have to accept that that's what Marvel does. They're just doing all these now. I don't know.
This is the best Doctor Strange is in any movie he's been in, too.
I completely agree with that.
That scene at the end where he's fighting Thanos is fucking awesome. Thanos throws a moon at Iron Man in this.
That's right.
That's the kind of like crazy shit you see in this movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I rewatched that scene this morning just for fun.
It's pulled off extremely well.
Yeah.
And then Tony Stark goes, if you throw another moon at me, I'm going to lose it. You know, but it's a movie that I can watch over and over again. I was blown away by it. And again, it's one of those stories that you read in the comics and you're like, how are they going to pull this off in live action?
Yeah.
How? It just seems too far out there. And they were able to.
I agree. I mean, I think that was the credit that I gave it when I was talking about it, was it's so impressive they even pulled it off.
Yeah.
It's so much to do in one movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just incredible that they were able to do it. And as well as they did, I completely agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. My number one, you probably figured it out, is Spider-Man Homecoming. Another one that you put near the bottom of your list that I was also laughing at. let me set the stage here for you. First of all, I like Spider-Man. I grew up watching Spider-Man, you know, the cartoon and then the Raimi movies. I've seen one of the other ones, the Andrew Garfield ones. Those are terrible. I watched Homecoming right after you and I watched Infinity War and Endgame. And I think just going from that to small and it's simple and street level. And yeah, like you're saying, it's not end of the world. You know, the villain is an arms dealer. He's just stealing stuff and selling it to make money for his family. It just felt so different. I like Tony Stark, so I don't mind that he's in it a ton. I like that it's kind of a Tony Stark mentoring somebody movie. That's cool. It is mm-hmm. very funny that he constantly shows up and it looks like he's just on vacation or getting off of a plane somewhere, or he's on a beach. And they clearly were just shooting Robert Downey Jr. wherever he happened to be on vacation at the time.
Yeah, pretty much.
So that's great. I think Tom Holland is an excellent Spider-Man. He really pulls it off. He pulls off that like chippy kid just so well. Even though they better get on top of shooting Spider-Man 4, because he's like 30 now, so he's not a kid anymore. Yeah, it feels like it gets Spider-Man right. And I liked the villain, who I'm blanking on now. What was he?
The Vulture.
The Vulture? The Vulture, okay.
Michael Keaton.
Michael Keaton, thank you. That felt kind of meta, especially him being Batman, then being in Birdman, making fun of comic book movies and being back in comic book movies. I like that. I like these movies when they're not, when I don't just feel like I'm watching product number 13D. And this just felt quieter and just refreshing.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed watching it. The humor worked for me. It felt like a good high school movie, just like a good high school comedy. Clearly they were going for kind of a 1980s high school movie send up. And I think that mostly worked. I enjoyed this one. As I was watching it, it was hitting me that, oh, this is my favorite Marvel movie. And Mike's going to think I'm crazy when I finally tell him that. So I knew it at the time.
I don't think you're crazy for liking this a lot. The one that fucking blows me away
is Ant-Man.
Is Ant-Man.
Yes.
This whole journey, I am shocked that is a top three movie for you. Especially when we were talking shit on the villain.
Yeah, the villains. Well, yeah, that's why I liked it, though. I thought it was funny.
Well, you should wait. He does make an appearance in Quantumania.
If you think I'm watching Quantumania, I'm
he is MODOK. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, it struck me because I remember seeing a picture of MODOK, and then I realized he got sucked down, and I went, oh, that's that guy. Look, the follow-up's terrible. I mean, I ranked Ant-Man and the Wasp. I ranked second to last. It's awful. So clearly, I don't love, it's not just the character or anything like that. I just think with that movie, they pulled it off and it was just really entertaining.
Quantumania is probably worse than that.
Oh, I'm sure it is. Yeah. People hated that movie.
If you didn't have notorious wife beater, Jonathan Majors performance in that, I mean, it, we're talking an all time worst movie.
Jeez. Yeah, that's rough. I'll never watch it. So
yeah.
I mean, I have no, I don't know about you, but I have no desire to keep going. As far as I'm concerned, this is the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
I don't.
Move on now. Maybe something changes. Deadpool comes out soon. I think they're going to revamp the whole thing. Maybe that changes in the future, but
I've watched almost none of the TV shows. I gave She-Hulk a try. It was fucking terrible. I couldn't finish it. I did get through Moon Knight, but it was painful. I didn't finish Falcon and the Winter Soldier. I didn't watch the Hawkeye one. I didn't watch this Echo show. I didn't see the Marvels. I did watch Spider-Man Nostalgia, which
everybody, you know,
I think that kind of held up on the nostalgia, to be honest. I liked Doctor Strange 2, but a lot of people didn't. Love and Thunder was fucking awful. That would be on the bottom of my list, probably.
Well, maybe, given my distaste for Thor, that would probably be last for me, too.
Yeah, because they just take it too far with all that, you know? So, it's really gone downhill. They're going to have... I'm curious to see what Deadpool 3 brings to the table.
I am extremely curious for Deadpool 3. I like the first Deadpool movies, first two. I'm so curious to see how you do Deadpool in the MCU. Like, what's Marvel going to do to it? Is it going to have the same bite? I mean, geez, like one of the shots in the first Deadpool movie is Deadpool getting pegged on International Women's Day. Like that sort of stuff does not fly in the MCU. So like I'm just really curious. And if they use Deadpool as nothing more than a vehicle to reboot their universe, I'm going to be really disappointed with that because that's just a waste of the character. But I have a sneaking suspicion that's what they're going to do.
It's supposed to be rated R too, from what I understand.
It is. Yeah, it is. Yeah, yeah, it is. Yep. They gave it an R rating, which good for them.
Well, we finally got here. We finally did.
I never thought this day would come. I never thought it took me getting a serious respiratory illness for me to sit down and watch these movies, but this is it. I'm putting them to bed. I'm not revisiting any of these for a very, very long time. I'm moving
the
on.
The next time you hear from us, we should be live and we should be discussing Goodfellas. So that'll be a completely different change of pace here.
Yeah, something with panache, something of quality.
There we go.
Yeah, so Martin Scorsese, the enemy of the MCU.
Yeah, isn't that fitting?
Yeah, it kind of is. We're doing an MCU ranking and then going to do some Scorsese.
I didn't even think about that. That's fucking great.
It's perfect. We should have released this episode together. Just the MCU and Scorsese.
See, but that just goes to show that you can appreciate something like this, but you can also appreciate something like a Scorsese film.
Yes, and I'll just say that. That'll be my final thought. That's the nice thing about movies. There's lots of different types of movies. Movies are made for different reasons. There's always been big popcorn blockbuster movies. And sometimes those movies are also genuinely great movies. Sometimes they're not. Sometimes they're just in the theaters to turn a big profit and make you eat popcorn for 2 hours and laugh or cry or smile or whatever. And then there are also other movies that you can go see that are cinema. They challenge you a little bit more. They're trying to tell a deeper story, a narrative.
Yeah.
There's space for all of this. One thing I think people fall down on in the MCU is people who only go see movies like this. They only go see things like Marvel movies or DC movies or Transformers movies or whatever. They only want to go see the big stuff. They're often looking for deeper things in places they shouldn't be looking for them in. Like when the Batman came out and people were saying, oh, the Batman is actually an excellent detective movie. It's like LA Confidential, but with the Batman. It's like, no, it's not, but it's not supposed to be. If you want to watch that, go watch LA Confidential. It's a great movie.
It's the most detective Batman has ever been in any of these movies.
It's the most detective Batman has ever been, but it's not seven. Exactly, right. It's a low bar. So my point is simply that I think people sometimes look for more in these movies than in the Marvel movies than a movie like this has to offer.
Well, I agree.
Maybe that's why I rank things like Spider-Man and Ant-Man higher than most people would, because I don't need these movies to be serious. I don't even need them to be make sense. Like, if you're going to go goofy, go full goofy and take advantage of it. That doesn't bother me at all.
Sure.
Because if I want to watch a drama, I'll go watch a drama.
A great point. All right. So that'll do it. We will see you guys next week.
Bye.